So good. Without further ado, hold your horses. I want to, Bob, who's also handing stuff out, I just wanted to give him just a quick moment to, here, you and I'll trade. We'll trade. I'll do that. You come up here and do this. Would you introduce your dear friend to us?
Sure. That's my pleasure. You know, I've known Stephen for a really, really long time. We were commissioned together up in Alaska for the ministry. But I knew him before then. I knew him when he was a young man. And so he's yeah, you're old now. No, I'm old now. You don't even qualify for old. But yeah, he's an amazing man. He's an evangelist. He's a revivalist. He moves in the gifts of healing, and God has been moving on him here in this nation, all over this nation, and also all over the world in many, many different countries. He is, I know I'm touting him up real big, but he's a great guy. You guys are going to enjoy the ministry that he has for you today. So without further ado, let me introduce to you Stephen Powell, my friend.
Hallelujah. Yeah, it's great to be here with you today on Father's Day. Amen. Happy Father's Day, all fathers. Hallelujah. Including me. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day to me. I'm a father of four, so not able to be with them today. But, you know, sometimes when I get invitations to come in on a Father's Day, you know, I never like to turn those down because, after all, Brownsville broke out on Father's Day. So, hallelujah. Hey, shikarabosambaya. We got to be on God's time. Amen. Not on culture's time. Come on, somebody. Oh, but just a few more instructions about what you just received. Those pamphlets that you just got, those brochures, if you turn to the inside there, there's an inside leaflet there where you can give securely with Cash App, PayPal, Venmo. You can go to our website as well. And if you don't want to mess with the smartphone, you can use one of those envelopes that we were. Did everybody get an envelope, or did everybody who needed an envelope get one? Just raise your hand if you needed an envelope and you didn't get one. Anybody? No? We got one over here, Bob. Needed an envelope. So you can actually write your debit or credit card information on the envelope. Or if you want to give cash and you want to get credit from our ministry into the year, you can do that as well. Put that in there and just give us your information. So anybody else need an envelope? Just raise your hand and we'll get you one. All right. Well, God bless you. I want to thank everybody who's already sown, has already given into the ministry the last couple of days. And hasn't God been awesome? How many of you guys have been in the meetings the last couple of days? Hasn't it been awesome? Hey, you know, we've been what I call warring for the miraculous, warring to give Jesus the reward of his suffering. And what I mean by that is that when Jesus died, he didn't just die to give us our ticket to heaven. Amen? He didn't just die to give us fire insurance, but salvation, deliverance from every demonic power, from every sort of mental assault against us, salvation, deliverance, and healing, it's all in the gospel. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says, by his stripes we're healed. If you do a study even on the word salvation in the New Testament, oftentimes the word is sozo, this Greek word sozo, and it's used interchangeably for casting out demons, for seeing people delivered from devils, seeing people healed and also saved as well. Amen? So even when we talk about receive Jesus, receive salvation, they're receiving the whole gospel package. Amen? They're receiving all that is in the life and the atonement of Jesus Christ. So when we receive Jesus, we shouldn't have a mindset of, well, there's salvation over here, there's healing over there, there's deliverance over there. No, it's all in the person of Jesus. Amen? So I want to encourage you even this morning, as we continue to just minister to the Lord, and as the Lord ministers to us, receive all that Jesus is for you this morning. Receive all that Jesus is for your family, for your marriage, okay, for your finances. We just talked about finances. I believe even financial blessing is in the atonement of Jesus. It's in the cross. It's not like some separate prosperity gospel message that, you know, some guys came up with the last, you know, 50 years or so. No, it's all in the atonement, because the Bible says he became poor so that we might become rich. Can I hear an amen? Now, of course, that's not just talking about physical blessing. How many of you guys know he wants us to prosper even as our souls prosper? If a person's soul is not prospering, they're bankrupt according to God. Come on, somebody. How many millionaires we know out there or that we hear about out there are completely miserable because they're not prospering in their soul. They don't really have the abundance that's available in the kingdom, okay, because they don't know the true riches of the kingdom. But there also is a financial component as well in the kingdom of God, in the blessing that comes through the cross. Absolutely, 100%. I believe that poverty is demonic. Just go to the third world with me sometime and you'll agree. It's absolutely demonic, and Jesus came to break the curse, and the curse even of poverty, lack, insufficiency, all this stuff. He wants us to walk in the abundance of the kingdom, so receive all that Jesus is this morning. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you. We honor you, Lord. We welcome you here this morning, Lord. You are welcome. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 26 this morning. I want to minister a message on the cross of Jesus Christ this morning. Let me pray. Father, we love you this morning. We honor your presence. Even on Father's Day, Lord, we honor our Heavenly Father in this place. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son to die upon the tree, to become the curse of sin for us, so that we might be completely free, completely delivered from the curse of sin. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. Thank you for putting it all on the line. Thank you for paying the ultimate price so that I might live, so that we might live. Lord, we just honor your presence. We honor the ministry of the word. I pray, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Use me as your mouthpiece, Lord, to minister words of life, Lord, not the dead letter of the law, but the words that are spirit and life, Lord. Let these words be spirit and life, Lord. Let them impact us here this morning, Lord. Let us be changed and transformed under the anointed ministry of the word of God this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to understand what the Spirit of God would say to the church even this morning, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, I'm not a person that went to Bible college at the beginning of my ministry or before I got into ministry, but actually I'm going to Bible college now, hallelujah, praise God. I'm getting a degree in theology, but a lot of the stuff I've learned of the Lord and even of the Word, I've learned through intimacy with Jesus. I've learned through being a student of the Word and being a student of God and of Jesus by ministering at the feet of Jesus for many years. And I consider it my great life privilege, my great life pursuit, pursuing the face of Jesus, that I might know Him. That's what Paul said, right? That I might know Him in the fellowship of His suffering, in the power of His resurrection. Is there anybody here that has a hunger in their heart to say, Lord, that I might know You? I want to know You. I don't just want to know a religion. I don't just want to go about the dutiful things of a religion, but I want to know the person of Jesus. And that is my ministry. Ultimately, I'm not here to wow you with theological brilliance. I'm not even here for the power. I'm not even here for miracles. I'm here so that I might share with you out of what I've come to know of Jesus, of what I've come to experience in intimacy with Jesus. And the hope is that you might be drawn into greater intimacy with the Lord. Amen. Whether you're saved, unsaved, whether you've walked with God for years or you've walked with God for days, I want everybody who sits under the ministry that God has given me to be hungrier for Jesus than when they came in the room earlier. Come on, somebody. Oh, Shambrabaya. The Bible says in the book of Acts that they took note, these ones have been with Jesus. Even though they were untrained, unlearned, uneducated, these disciples, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees took note, these ones have been with Jesus. Let that be a testimony of those that sit under my ministry or see what God's doing with me. Let everywhere I go, let it be that people would know that I have been with Jesus. Hallelujah. But in my walk with God, I've found that I've come to understand even theological concepts and truth, and my theology's even been shaped as I've walked with God and as I've experienced God in a greater way. Amen. And, of course, there's things that we learn through study, and there's things that we learn through diligence, but there's things that are caught more than they're taught. Amen? There's things that you begin to experience God in a deeper way, and then the Word of God just begins to open up to you. So this morning, when sharing about a revelation of the cross, I'm sharing from my own life experience. I'm sharing from something that I have experienced, that when crisis has come to my life, the Lord has given me an invitation to embrace the cross. And I want to tell you this morning, every time a crisis comes to your life, every time you are sideswiped by the enemy, every time there's an assignment that's arrayed against you, you have an opportunity. Are you going to partner with the enemy about what's going on, or are you going to partner with God? Are you going to see your crisis through the from the perspective of the evil one, or are you going to see your crisis from the perspective of God? Are you hearing me? When the enemy comes against you, when there's a crisis in your life, you better believe that he has a plan for your life. You better believe that he is moving against you because he has a plan for your life. He has a plan for the purpose, for the person that he wants you to be. He has a plan for the spirit that he wants you to walk in. He doesn't want you to walk in a forgiving spirit. He doesn't want you to walk in the fruit of the spirit. He wants you to be bitter. He wants you to be twisted. He wants your love to get shut down. Who's ever been hurt by someone in here that you love dearly? Who's ever been betrayed in here? Well, I'm telling you, the enemy has a plan in those moments. The enemy wants to twist you, and he wants to shape you into his image and into his likeness. But when you embrace the cross, when crisis comes in your life, God takes those moments and begins to transform you into the image of Jesus. But God begins to shape you and transform you. And there's something so beautiful, something so glorious that happens when you say, Lord, I'm not going to waste my sorrows. I'm not going to waste the trial. I'm going to embrace the cross and I'm going to come up higher. The enemy tried to take me out, but actually he just promoted me through the attack. Are you hearing me this morning? And this is kingdom. We're talking about kingdom a lot. This is kingdom. Is that ultimately when you submit to God, there's nothing that the enemy can bring against you that will ultimately cause you to abort your destiny or step out of the plan of God. God is greater than anything the enemy can bring against you. And he is the potter. He will shape you. And I believe that ultimately Satan is a disempowered foe. And when you submit to God and embrace the cross, there's a power that's released in your life that makes the enemy into nothing more than a pawn in the hand of the Lord. And we're going to mention some scriptures here this morning. Not just look at the ministry of Jesus and what Jesus went through, but we're going to look at a few other characters in scripture. We're going to see how they embraced the cross when trial came, when crisis came, and how God used it to transform them. But I want to start with the Lord himself. It says in Matthew 26, verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to his disciples, sit here a while, while I go and pray over there. Right? So you have to understand, when you enter into a fresh cross experience. So you guys follow me? There are times where crisis will come. There will be times when hardship will come. There'll be times when the enemy will attack, right? This is ultimately an attack of the enemy. How many of you guys would agree with me here? Right? And when those times come, there are certain things that happen and that transpire when you decide to embrace the cross. And the cross was not just for Jesus to embrace, because he called his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. How many of you guys know I'm preaching scripture here? Right? It's not something separate. The Bible says they that are joined to the Lord are one spirit. I don't know how it works, but somehow spiritually, my life is joined to the Lord. And whatever I'm going through it not alone, but with Jesus. Are you hearing me? I'm not going through it alone. I'm never alone. I'm going through it with Jesus. And there's something about when you enter into a fresh season where God is calling you to embrace the cross, there are stages of the cross. Okay, there are stages of the cross. And how many of you guys know, ultimately, the final stage is not just the death, but the resurrection. Amen? The final stage is the resurrection, and here comes the Holy Ghost in power. Here comes Pentecost. Here comes the Comforter. Amen? Here comes the fire of the Holy Spirit. Oh, shambra kalabo shambaya. But the Bible says here that he said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. So one of the things that happens when you're going through a fresh cross experience is there'll be people that will come along with you, but some of those people are not going to respond the way you think they should respond. Maybe you're not going to get some of the support that you think you should get from people that should support you the most. And that's what's happening with Jesus here. You guys remember the story. We're going to read it here in a second. He's like, I'm over here pressing in. I'm over here enduring, and you're falling asleep. How many of you guys have ever experienced this before? Where it's like, don't you understand what I'm going through? Don't you understand that I'm in crisis? Don't you care? This is part of the cross experience. There'll be times where it feels like other people around you are not giving the empathy and not giving the compassion that you think you should have during that crisis. But I want to tell you this morning, the Lord is with you. The Lord will never forsake you. The Lord's heart is for you. The Lord is near those who are brokenhearted, and he will save those who are crushed in spirit, the Bible says in the book of Psalms. Amen? If you're in this place this morning and you're of a broken heart, the Lord is near you. The Lord is right next to you. The Lord's life is joined to you. If you're in this room this morning and you feel crushed in spirit by what's happened to you in a previous season, God is going to save you out of that. He will not leave you in that crushed state. He will raise you up stronger, bigger, better, more powerful, more anointed than you ever have been before, as long as you embrace the cross and don't let go of Jesus. Verse 37, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Yes, that's right. At times, it's appropriate to be sorrowful. It's appropriate to feel deep distress. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus was not lacking in a revelation of the prosperity of God. Jesus was not lacking in a revelation of the joy of the Spirit. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? Sometimes we get an impression, maybe in the American church, that if things aren't just wonderful and, you know, you're not just, you know, in this blessed state all the time, that there must be something wrong with you. You just don't have as much of a revelation of faith as I do, brother. But I'm telling you right now, even Jesus and all the glory that he walked in, there were times when he embraced the cross, especially here when he was embracing the cross, where it didn't feel the funnest. It didn't feel the most joyous, right? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time to die and a time to live. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace. There's a time to sow and a time to have that which is sown taken away. But the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, everything is beautiful in its own time. Did you know that? How is that even possible? How can a time of war be beautiful? I'll tell you how it can be beautiful if you lift your gaze and look at the time of war through the perspective of Jesus. Amen? If you look at the warfare in your life through the eyes of Jesus, it'll become beautiful to you. You'll be able to thank God in everything because you know that you're not going to stay there. God will not leave you in the warfare season. He's going to bring you into the victorious season where God has to restore double what he, or excuse me, the enemy has to restore double what he stole from you. Amen? When the thief is caught, Proverbs 6, he must restore sevenfold. How about that? How about the warfare, the crisis, the attack that's come against you? It's actually an investment in your life that's going to come back seven times greater. Talk about a kingdom perspective. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for this current attack. I'm going up seven times. I'm going to increase seven times after this, right? And it's amazing how when you lift up your gaze, when you change your perspective, when you shift your state back into a state of faith and love and hope and expectation and partnering with truth, it's amazing how that changes you even emotionally. It's amazing how you start to feel the peace of God. You start to feel the joy of the Lord. People know what you're going through and they're like, are you okay? You seem a little too happy for the crisis you're going through. But how many of you guys know it's supernatural? The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. As long as you be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and petitions and thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. Amen? You can lay down with Jesus on that boat and sleep through the storm, even though it's raging around and everybody else is freaking out. Why? Because the peace of God is yours in Christ Jesus. Amen? Christians that only know the peace of God when everything's going good don't really know the supernatural peace of God. The peace of God is there to keep you and to guard you, not just through the mountaintops, but through the valleys, through the storms. But the Bible says he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Okay, these are things that are going to happen anyways, I believe. There's going to be distress. There's going to be sorrows. There's going to be letdowns. Why not give it to the Lord? Why not partner with the Lord through it? Amen? Why not give it to the Lord and allow the Lord to shape you and transform you through it? But you do have a choice who you're going to partner with. You do have a choice what you're going to focus on while you're going through it. You do have a choice. Are you going to exchange that anxiety? Are you going to exchange that distress for peace? Or are you just going to sit in it and stew and let the enemy have his way? You do have power, amen? You can lift your gaze. You can control what you focus on. Sometimes you can't control what's coming against you, and you especially can't control the people around you. Can I hear an amen? And the more you try, the more it usually goes wrong, all right? But you can control what you focus on. You can control what you choose to partner with and what you choose to not partner with. And I'm telling you, it makes all the difference when God's calling you to embrace your cross. Verse 38, he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. So he's like, boys, I'm having a really difficult day. Please pray with me. Right? I'm having a really bad day. I know it's been glory. I know we've seen signs and wonders, the dead raised. I know you've seen more lepers cleansed than you've ever seen before. But today is not that day. Right? And here's another thing. When you go through a fresh cross experience, the enemy wants to take the circumstances and he wants to take, you know, today's experience and he wants to turn that on you and say, oh, this is your identity. This is who you are. Because you're feeling sorrowful, you're a sorry person. Because you're feeling defeated, you are defeated. But how many of you guys know, even if we feel defeated, we have the victory in Christ. Amen? If you're going to be mature son or daughter of God, you've got to learn to take whatever comes your way as far as experience and say, I'm going to stand on the truth of God's word. I'm going to stand on the truth of who God says I am, no matter what I'm feeling today. No matter what experience I'm experiencing, no matter what life experience is happening right now, I am victorious. I am loved. I am accepted, not rejected by the Father on Father's Day. Amen? So you see how I did that little, just plugging in the Father's Day message there? Hallelujah. See, I can do it. I got pastoral skills. Hallelujah. Hey, exceedingly sorrowful even to death. I mean, I'm telling you, there's some cross experience. It's like you feel so sorry. You feel such a deep distress. You can feel even the death of it, the grief of it, right? But the Bible says that Jesus held true. He stayed with the assignment. He kept embracing his cross. He never tapped out. Verse 39, he went a little farther, fell on his face. You know, sometimes when you're going through a deep cross experience, all you can do is just take another step. All you can do is just go a little farther. But I tell you, if you feel like you've only got enough strength to take one more step, if you feel like you've only got enough strength to just go a little farther, I want to encourage you, just go a little farther. Take it one day at a time. Sometimes the enemy wants you to bite off more than you can chew at the moment, but the Lord will give you grace for each step. He'll give you grace for each day. Even the Lord said when you pray the Lord's Prayer, Lord, give us this day my daily bread. Don't worry about the week's bread. Don't worry about the month's bread. Lord, give me today's bread. Give me today's bread. Don't worry about the problems of tomorrow, Jesus said. Sufficient is the day, right? The Lord's got tomorrow. Just go a little farther. The Bible says Jesus went a little farther and he prayed. Amen? So go a little farther and keep praying. And I tell you, God doesn't need your perfect prayer. God doesn't need your, you know, 3-hour long soliloquy to heaven, okay? All he needs is you to turn to him. All he needs is for you to cry out. Sometimes you don't got a prayer in you. All you have is Jesus! Jesus, help! How many of you guys have been there? Especially when you're embracing the cross. It's like, I have no eloquence. I have nothing in me. It's just Jesus. And I'm going to lay down on the carpet and just soak in the presence. I'm telling you, I've been there. I've been there where it's like, I feel like I can't even pray. I can't even muster up the words, but you know what? I can click on the music and I can lay down and I can rest in the Lord. Amen? And I can let the Lord minister to me. Hey, shikara bosambaya. He said, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, this is such a beautiful moment in the life and the ministry of Jesus. Why? Because God, in his infinite wisdom, grace, and his sovereignty, gave us insight into Jesus' own human weakness. Do you guys realize that when he's saying here, Father, let this cup pass from me, that's Jesus fully embracing our human experience and fully embracing times of crisis, a moment of the cross where it's like, Lord, is there any way I can get out of this? You know, you'll find this happening when you embrace the cross, when you go through a season that God has you in. There'll be times where the pain, the distress, the sorrow, it's so deep where you begin to compromise or you begin to try to find some way out. Oh, if I could just find some way out, if I could just find some relief, right? But in those moments, you have to trust God's going to give you the strength, just like Jesus, to say, nevertheless, thy will be done. Are you hearing me? Nevertheless, thy will be done. You know, there's different crises that come our way. There's different things that happen. You know, sometimes, you know, a couple will lose a child. Sometimes there'll be marriage problems, family problems. Sometimes there'll be a serious situation, okay, where the enemy comes in and just wreaks havoc in your ministry or in your business. And there'll be temptations to try to get out of it. There'll be temptations to try to find some way of relief. But in those moments, even as we walk with God, we ultimately have to do what is right. Amen? We have to hold to our values. We have to hold to our morals. We have to hold to our convictions, because after all, that's what Satan's after when he brings the crisis. He wants you to compromise. He wants you to act in a way that is outside your character and not be who God's called you to be. But you have to trust that God's going to give you the grace to say, nevertheless, thy will be done, Lord. Nevertheless, Lord, if you're calling me to drink this cup, I'm going to drink it. Amen? Oh, shikala boshambra kayera boshambabaya. Lord, we thank you for that grace here this morning, Lord. We thank you for that grace, Lord, to stay the course, Lord, to keep doing what you're calling us to do, to keep embracing the cross, to keep saying yes to God, even when it's the hardest to do so, even when it's the most difficult. Lord, we thank you for that. Verse 40, it says, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Right? So you got to guard your heart from offense when you're going through a cross season, because there'll be people around you that will not respond the way you think they should respond. There'll be people around you that will not support you maybe in the way that you think they should support you. But God's support for you has never wavered. Amen? You have to trust that God will put the people around you that you really, really need. And if they're not able to give something to you in that season, God is going to provide it for you. Can I hear an amen? Part of what happens when you go through a very deep cross experience is just some people won't be able to understand. Some people will have a hard time empathizing because they won't be able to understand, because it's a deep work that God does in you when you embrace the cross. It's a very, very deep work. It's a holy thing. It's a godly thing. But the Lord always understands. Amen? It says in verse 41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? Now, another principle that comes is when crisis, okay, comes to our life, I would suggest that you have a prayer life established before the crisis comes. I would suggest that you've made a habit out of daily fellowship, meditation of the word, and communion with God every single day, not just on Sundays, before the crisis comes. Because you better believe it, when the crisis comes, many people are not ready because they have not made a practice of the lifestyle of the kingdom. It's just been a fad. It's just been something they visit once a week as a religious thing. But I'm telling you right now, these things that we talk about in the faith, daily fellowship, walking with God, being strong in the word, I'm telling you, one day you're going to need it. One day you are going to need it. Amen? And you better use your days when it feels like the mountaintops. You better use your days when it feels like everything's peaceful and the winds aren't blowing hard to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen? Because I don't know about you, when my day of trial, when my day of temptation comes, when I stand before the Lord one day, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You stood strong when it was hardest. You stood strong in the power of my might. Amen? How many of you guys want to hear that? I want to hear that one day. Sometimes a crisis will come, or you know, something will happen, and the Lord will use it to get our attention and say, hey, you were so easily overcome by the enemy because you need to address this in your life. You need to address not just being a churchgoer, but being a disciple. You need to address being a daily person that walks with God. Amen? So that's another principle of crisis and seasons where God's calling us to embrace the cross. There'll be certain weaknesses that will be exposed. There'll be certain priorities that God will say, hey, this isn't right in your life. You need to change this. You need to get the main thing once again. Amen? You need to return to the fire of your first love. Do the first works and renew the fire of your first love, the Lord says. Amen? So once again, when crisis comes, when God calls us to embrace the cross, there's always a silver lining. There's always a blessing in it. There's always an opportunity to see things, even in us, that need to change. To see things that need to be addressed. Amen? And there's nothing like crisis, many times, that will do that. He says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want my spirit man to be immensely stronger than my flesh man. Amen? I want the spirit to not only be willing, but to be able in the day of temptation to follow the Lord all the way through. How about you? It says, again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, my father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. The Bible says he prayed this prayer three times, okay? Three different times about, if it's possible, let this cup, but nevertheless, your will be done. It shows that sometimes you're going to need to pray more than once. Sometimes you're going to need to take a stand more than once, more than one day. Sometimes you're going to have to take a stand and keep taking a stand for weeks, for months, for years. How about years? You take a stand for righteousness. You take a stand for your marriage. You take a stand for your family. You take a stand for whatever it is. And sometimes it goes on for years. But are you going to keep standing? Are you going to keep standing in the power of his might? It's not by might, not by power, but it's by his spirit. Amen? Oh, shikalabasambaya. But I just love this story because the Bible talks about how Jesus had to keep praying. Amen? He had to keep standing. It shows that he's battling something. It shows that he's wrestling with something. And the fact that he wrestled with it and he wrestled through it and prevailed, That is something that he obtained, a victory that he obtained for us. And now because he wrestled through and obtained the victory, now you can wrestle through and obtain the victory in your life. Amen? This is the gospel. Whatever he broke through for and pioneered for us, now we have access to that same grace. We have access to that same power. Because he overcame in my flesh, I can overcome in my flesh. Amen? Because he overcame this world with all of its evil, I can and will overcome this world with all of its evil. Amen? That is the gospel. That is the message of Jesus Christ. I vicariously live through his own victory. Amen? My life is joined to his life in the cross, in the burial, and in the resurrection victory every single day. Amen? It says he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Right? So it's not just one disappointment. He keeps being disappointed by his friends. He keeps being disappointed by those that are closest to him. Right? And when you're going through one of these experiences, don't get caught up in focusing in that. Okay? Don't get caught up in focusing on what people aren't doing for you. Focus on what God is doing for you. Focus on what God is providing for you. Because once again, the enemy's trying to get you to partner with him. He's trying to get you to partner with lack. He's trying to get you to partner with everything that's not going on. How about partner with God and see what is going on? Amen? It says, he left them, he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to him, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. So Jesus just came to a point and said, okay, well, it looks like these guys are just going to sleep all the way through the preparation. But you know what? I'm ready nonetheless. You know what? I must not need it anyways. God's prepared me. It's okay. The time has come. It's time to enter into this. Oh, shankarabashambaya. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 12, if you could. Now, the Bible said that Paul actually bore in his body the marks of Christ. Very, very interesting scripture. I believe that is a statement that is both physical and spiritual. It's physical because Paul was literally whipped. He was literally flogged. He was literally killed multiple times, dragged outside of the city, stoned. The Bible actually talks about how he was stoned multiple times. And, you know, whenever you got stoned in those days, it wasn't just, you know, to give you a few licks on the head. They stoned to death, right? So Paul, I believe, was actually raised from the dead multiple times, and he was whipped, he was flogged. I believe in one place here in Corinthians, it says he received 39 lashes, which is, I believe, is the same amount of lashes that Jesus received. So literally, there's a physical, literal component to Paul when he says, I bear in my body the marks of Christ. But it is also something mystical and spiritual in that when his life was joined to Jesus, he said, I am crucified with Christ. There's something about in Paul's life, as well as many of the saints from Genesis all the way to Revelation, they went through all the stages of the cross in their life as they embraced the Lord Jesus. You can read in Hebrews 11 how all of these heroes of the faith actually had a revelation of Jesus, even though they didn't know his name. How many of you guys ever read that before? The Bible says by revelation, Abel offered up the lamb, offered up the animal rather than the vegetables, right? Like his brother, right? How did he know to offer up the animal? It's because he had the revelation of Jesus that one day the Lamb of God was going to be offered up. Amen? Isn't that powerful? Hey, shikalaboshombabaya. But I believe that Paul, when he chose to follow the Lord, I believe his life was joined to the Lord's and he went through all the different stages of the cross. And there was times where he went through great suffering, even though he went through incredible breakthrough, incredible power. Amen? And once again, I just want to make the point, when Paul is talking about suffering, being buffeted by Satan, the messenger of Satan here, when he's talking about the thorn in the flesh, all this stuff, it's not because Paul lacks a revelation of the prosperity of God. Can I hear it? Amen. I mean, there's something that we've done in the Western church especially where it's like if you're really walking with God and you really have faith, you're just everything's just going to be good all the time. It's such a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus specifically said, if you follow me, you're going to have distress. You're going to have persecution. In fact, they're going to hate you because they hate me. He said this in Luke 6, beware when all men sing your praises, for they so sang the praises of the false prophets. If you're a preacher in America and everybody loves you, including the world, it's more of an indication that you're a false prophet rather than a true man of God. Amen? I'm preaching scripture here. And not that we relish and we just, oh, you know, hey, come on, all the persecution, right? I want the blessing too, right? I want the blessing. But it just looks very, very different many times when you look at it from a biblical kingdom perspective versus an American gospel perspective, right? But Paul, when he's embracing his cross, when he's really following the Lord, I believe that there was a heavy assignment that came against him. And if there's a heavy demonic assignment that comes against your life, know this, the enemy doesn't target someone without value. The enemy doesn't target people that don't have great colleagues, amen? That don't have great value, that aren't a threat to him. If you're being targeted by the enemy, it's because you're a threat to him. He says in verse 7, of 2 Corinthians 12, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, right? So God is actually giving Paul here revelation and understanding about why some of these trials have come. Now, this is New Testament, correct? Is this in the New Testament? This is New Testament. Okay, this is New Covenant. And I'm pretty sure that Paul has the greatest PhD on New Covenant theology, right? Any preacher that you follow today, they ain't got nothing on Paul, okay? He is the cream of the crop when it comes to New Covenant theology. Can we agree on that? Now, Paul clearly says here that God is using this struggle, he's using this trial in my life to humble myself, lest I be exalted above measure because of all the revelation I'm having. You better believe that God will use the attacks of the enemy in your life to humble you. You better believe that whatever comes your way, God is going to use it to shape Christ in you, to form Christ in you, to develop and bring forth more of that fruit of the Spirit in you. Now, some people get into this argument of, well, did God send the enemy? Or, you know, I don't know about that. It doesn't even matter, okay? Crisis is going to come anyways. Whether God sent it or he didn't send it, it doesn't even matter. Crisis is going to come. And when it comes and you look unto the Lord and you give it to God, God will absolutely use it in your life. Amen? People get hung up, you know, and they want to get in these theological battles of, don't you dare even let God, you know, your theology about God, even get close to that crisis. But, you know, as far as me and my understanding, my life is joined to God. It's joined to Jesus. I can't go through anything without God being right in the middle of it. Amen? Without him being intimately involved. So ultimately, I don't care if it was God or the devil. Ultimately, it's God. God is using it all for my good. Amen? It says here, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, once again, I don't think Paul was lacking in a revelation on spiritual warfare. I don't think Paul was lacking in a revelation about how to apply the blood of Jesus properly, right? About how to create a hedge of protection, right? I don't think that. I think that for whatever reason, sometimes we just have stuff that happens. Amen? For whatever reason, we just have times that the enemy will come against us, even illegally at times. The Greek word here for messenger, it says a messenger of Satan was sent above me. The Greek word is angelos. It means angel. So I actually believe this is a fallen angel. I actually believe this is a high-level principality. And when you have high-level principalities, they're like generals in the army of darkness, and they don't just operate alone. They literally have battalions of demons under them. They don't just have battalions of demons and evil spirits. They have human agents as well that's operating under the power of that principality. Which is interesting because Jesus said in Matthew 7 that the false prophets bring forth thorns and thistles, right? But of a good tree will come forth good fruit. You will know them by their fruit. You remember when Jesus said that? So very, very interesting. Jesus likened thorns and thistles coming forth unto false prophets. So I believe part of what Paul was dealing with here was literally like an army of false prophets that were coming against him in his ministry, all operating under the hierarchy of this messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him. Now, I'm not going to get into what the thorn of the flesh was and, did it involve the flesh or not? I'm not going to get into any of that. It really doesn't matter. Can we just agree that Paul was having a bad day? Can we agree that this is not good? This is not fun. This is not what it looks like in heaven, right? Shikalabashambaya. Verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times. You remember Jesus prayed three times? Very interesting. I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And the Bible says here in verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, the fact that Paul had to pray three times before he got an answer tells me that there were at least two prayers that went up in which there was no answer. Right? So part of the struggle and part of the test when you embrace the cross in a season of crisis is you will cry out to God and you will pray with all your heart and there'll be a desperate plea that goes forth, and at times you will feel like God is not listening. At times you will feel like your prayer is hitting the ceiling and bouncing back down. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Has anybody gone through some stuff? Can anybody bear witness with what I'm preaching here? I'm telling you right now, just because it feels like your prayer has gone up and God has not answered, I'm telling you, God answers every prayer. I'm telling you, God hears every prayer. There's not one prayer. There's not even the prayers like Hannah that are uttered and no words come out. God even hears the silent prayer of the heart that doesn't even have words for it. God hears it. God lodged it in that book in heaven, and he has not forsaken you. Paul's prayer was, Lord, let this depart from me. God's answer was, I'll give you grace that's sufficient for you. So be prepared for you to pray and ask God for something specific and for him to not give it to you. Be prepared for you to ask God and pray a specific prayer and then God answer you with something completely else that you weren't even asking for. But here's where the test comes in again. Here's another test. Are you going to trust God that God's answer is sufficient? That God's answer was actually exactly what you needed to hear. That what God's providing is exactly what you need right now. And in fact, he knows what you need better than you know yourself. Amen? So when you embrace the cross and when you go through a crisis season, you're learning to trust God with every area of your life. You're learning to trust God in all things. You're learning that he is the author and the finisher of your faith. And he that began a good work in you shall complete it. He is faithful. Amen? This kind of ruffles some feathers in the charismatic church because we're so Arminius many times and we're so trained that we have authority and we have power and we can decide the course of our life. But there is something called sovereignty in Scripture. There is something where the Bible is very, very clear about this. God has a choice. How about God's choice? Someone said to me the other day, they're like, I have a choice. This is my choice. And I'm like, what about God's choice? I read in the Scripture how Hannah, I love the story of Hannah. Hannah prayed to God and pleaded and went through a crisis, really, in order to conceive Samuel. And before Samuel was even born, she decided that he was going to be a Nazarite. She decided that he was going to be a Nazarite. When Samuel was born, he was a Nazarite even before birth. He didn't even have a choice in the matter. It was God's choice. Jonah didn't have a choice in the matter. It was God's choice. There are certain things in your life where it's not up to you. It's not up to the enemy. It's not up to your spouse. God has a choice. What does God say? Amen? And when you embrace the cross and you find yourself in crisis-type situations, you will discover that there are many things that are outside of your control. You can't control other people. You can't control your spouse. You can't control your pastor. You can't control your boss. The more you try, the more messed up it gets. But are you going to trust God? Are you going to trust God that God is greater than all of it? And that he's going to keep his promise to you. He's going to work all things together for your good. As you love him and cleave to the fact that you've been called according to his purpose. Amen? His grace is sufficient for you, the Bible says in verse 9. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. So know that whatever it is that you need, God is going to provide it for you during the season. Whatever it is that you need, it is going to suffice. God has grace that will suffice in this season. Oh, and here's another part to it here. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. One of the most tormenting things can be when you're going through a crisis or when you're going through a struggle and you don't know why. You don't know the purpose in it. But I tell you, it is the grace of God to give you a sense of purpose. The Lord let Paul know, hey, this isn't for nothing. I'm actually increasing your strength. I'm actually perfecting the strength of God in you right now through this weakness. Amen? That was one of the purposes. The other purpose was to humble him, lest he should be exalted above measure. We know that Paul was such an incredible man of God. I mean, there's times where he's getting bit by snakes and just shaking it off in the fire, and the people on the island are wanting to worship him. He's like, no, don't worship me, worship Jesus. So we're talking about a guy who walked in incredible power, incredible glory, and God actually orchestrated, I believe, events in his life to humble him, not just in the eyes of himself, but in the eyes of the people. Many times we're just thinking about ourselves, right, when we go through trial and crisis. But what is God doing actually for the people around you through it? I believe that as Paul was humbled, and even as people were able to see, hey, he's just like us. He's been walking in a lot of glory, but he walks in stuff too. I believe he was able to minister more effectively to the people that God called him to minister to as well. Amen? But he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You hear people cry out all the time in the charismatic church, Lord, I want a greater anointing. Lord, I want to walk in more power. I want to walk in more miracles, Lord. I want to walk in more signs and wonders. I want to have more encounters. But there are some people that will never know perfected strength in the kingdom unless they know weakness. There are some people that will never know resurrection power if they're not willing to embrace the fellowship of his sufferings. Are you hearing me this morning? He said, but I would rather, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. That word infirmities is weaknesses. That's humility right there. You know God's done a real work in your heart. You know God's killed every ounce of pride when you're boasting in your weaknesses, when you're boasting in your insufficiencies. Amen? That the power of Christ may rest more mightily upon me. The word rest upon me in the Greek, very, very interesting phrase. It speaks of the same sort of language of the Spirit of God came and rested upon Jesus at the River Jordan, rested and remained. Amen? There's a resting, there's an abiding glory, there's a mantling of God's presence and power that will come through a cross experience. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want the power of Christ to rest more mightily upon me. I want a heavier mantle of glory, not for my own sake, so that I might minister more effectively to those that God's called me to serve. Amen? He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, verse 10, in reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong. Here's another little nugget and key to get through fresh cross experiences. You need to grab on even to faith statements in Scripture, and you need to speak those statements over your life every single day. I get up, and when I'm going through experiences like this, and I don't just pray and meditate the Word, I actually have declarations and decrees that I speak over my life, that I speak over my marriage, that I speak over my ministry every single day. You know, just like the decrees and declarations we were speaking earlier over our finances, how many of you guys do that every single day? I think it's something that should be daily. I speak certain things over my life every single day, especially that are pertinent to the immediate situation. Paul is saying here, when I am weak, I am strong. Amen? I have a feeling that Paul said that more than once during this season, right? When I am weak, I am strong. The power of Christ is being perfected. The strength of Christ is being perfected in my weakness. Amen? We need to speak those truths over our life. We need to align ourselves with the perspective of heaven so we can get heaven's results. Verse 11, he says, I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have commended you. I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with perseverance, with signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. Now notice how when he talks about the signs of an apostle, the first one mentioned is perseverance. A lot of times we go right to the signs, right to the wonders, right to the power. Are you an apostle? Where's the miracles? Where's all the church plants, right? But the first one that Paul mentioned was perseverance. And I'm telling you, the power of the cross, when you embrace the cross, that will work a deep supernatural perseverance in you like nothing else will. It'll teach you to cleave to Jesus no matter what, no matter what's happening in your life. And I'm telling you, God will use that moving forward in your life. Amen? We need perseverance. We need to hold fast to the confession of our faith. We need to hold fast to the identity that God has given us, the identity that God has given us. Amen? No matter what trials, no matter what struggles come our way, we need to have perseverance in the kingdom. And God will work that perseverance in us when we embrace the cross. All right, last scripture here. Just go with me, if you could, to Job chapter 1. I talk a lot about Job the last few years. Some people say, well, I don't want to talk about Job. I want to talk about Jesus. but when you understand properly, theologically, who Job represents Jesus. I don't know if you're aware of that, but when you read Job, you're actually seeing Jesus. You're seeing Jesus, the suffering servant. Amen? You guys know the story. I won't read through the whole first chapter. I'm assuming you know the story. But the devil is searching. He's going to and fro throughout the earth, and he's looking for those servants of God. He's looking for those people that walk in the favor of God, that walk in the glory. And he finds Job, and he decides to target Job. And he appears before the Lord, and he makes a challenge. Actually, the Lord's the one who initiates the challenge. He's like, you know, the Lord says to Job, hey, what have you been doing? Where have you come from? The Lord says to Satan, what have you been doing? Where are you coming from? And he says, oh, I was just going all throughout the earth that you created and looking for, you know, a servant, right, to latch onto and destroy. Basically, that's Stephen's translation. But the Lord says, hey, Satan, have you considered Job? I don't know about you. If Satan goes before the Lord, I just want the Lord to keep my name out of it, right? Like, don't bring it up. Why are you bringing me into this, right? Like, find someone else, right? But the Lord's like, offered it, like of his own volition. Have you considered Job? And this is what Satan said. This is the challenge that Satan made. Satan said, you know, I bet if everything's taken from him, I bet if I hit him as hard as someone can be hit, he's not going to fear you. I bet he's just fearing you and walking with you because of the stuff that you've given him. How about when I take all the stuff? Of course, Stephen's translation, so that's a paraphrase of a paraphrase. Praise God. But, you know, this is sometimes what happens in our lives when we're called to embrace the cross is the enemy has a boast in his spirit. The enemy has a challenge that, you know what? I don't think they're going to hold fast to their confession. I don't think they're going to keep following Jesus if we take some of their stuff, if we hit them. And in case you're wondering, this is the testing of our faith. This is the trial of our faith. Will you follow Jesus during the good days and the bad days? Will you cleave to the cross when you follow the Lord, even when things are going good and bad? This is the real trial of our faith. And that's why many times people that are not walking deep with the Lord, the persecutions and the trials come and they flake out. They run the other way. They go back to their old life, right? But once again, I want to be among those that hold fast to my confession, even in the great hour of temptation. Amen? The Bible says that here in verse 8, it says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. I mean, even those terms right now, right there, there is none like him in all the earth. That's speaking of Jesus. I'm telling you right now. Those are terms saved for the Lord. So I believe that Job represents the Lord here. Amen? Are you guys following me? Verse 9. So Satan answered the Lord and said, fear God for nothing. Right, verse 10. Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now, something very, very interesting, and I find a little bit odd, but I find it a very, very interesting mystery, is if you read closely the language here in Job chapter 1, there seems to be something that's like interchanged between God and Satan, right? So, obviously, would you guys agree that in this chapter, it's Satan actually attacking Job, right? But then when Satan is actually talking to the Lord here, he says, but now stretch out your hand. Well, wait a minute. Is it Satan's hand that's being stretched out, or is it God's hand? I'm confused. I thought it was supposed to be one or the other, right? I thought we're just supposed to choose. Is this God or is the devil? But over and over again in this passage, there seems to be some, it seems to get a little confusing at times. Is this God or is this the devil? And the Bible clearly says in the next few verses, between like 11 and 19, clearly says that it's the enemy that attacked him. Clearly says that it was Satan that reached out. But then you have another scripture here, verse 16. It says, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up everything, burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. So once again, like, is this the devil? But it just said the fire of God. I'm confused, Lord. What's going on here? Is this God or is this the devil? Now skip all the way to verse 20, okay? And this is it. This is the end of my sermon, I promise. This is my first of like five closings. Hallelujah. I'm trying. Lord, help me. It's Father's Day. We got pies to eat. Let's get out of here. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Then Job arose. He tore his robe. He shaved his head. He fell to the ground and worshiped. Wow. I'm telling you, when the pressure really comes and you really begin to get squeezed, what comes out in those moments is a testimony of what you've been sowing into for many years. Now, there's some people, a lot of people, that the enemy comes against them, begins to burn up everything, begins to take things, and what comes out is cursing God. What comes out is bitterness. What comes out is unforgiveness. What comes out is all this confusion and all this hatred and all this jealousy and all this malice and all this contempt for God. God, how could you do this? But that's not what came out of Job. The Bible says Job fell down and worshiped. Amen? Now, it's very important when you're going through a crisis or when you're going through a fresh cross experience, it's very important to let out the appropriate emotions, okay? When it's time and appropriate for it to let out those emotions. The Bible said that Job didn't shy away from it. He tore his robe. He shaved his head, right? He's in grief. He's in sorrow. He's in pain. I'm sure he cried. I'm sure he wailed. Amen? So I want to tell you today, it's appropriate at times to have those emotions in the appropriate place at the appropriate time. Amen? And I would encourage you to not hold that back, to not bury that. But I would encourage you to come before the Lord and share your broken heart with him. Amen? Tell him how much it hurts. In fact, find some people around you that love you and that know they're going to support you and tell them as well. Amen? Find the support system that you need in the community of faith when you go through stuff like this because you're not alone. Amen? We're here to support one another. Can I hear an amen? So it's okay to let those emotions out. It's okay to tell God how you really feel. In fact, he wants to hear it. Amen? He doesn't want to hear some fake religious, you know, offering. He wants to hear your real heart. Amen? So share your heart. But at the end of the day, you have to offer up the sacrifice of praise. At the end of the day, you can't waste your sorrows. You have to take that pain. You have to take that anguish. You have to take that hurt that you're experiencing and worship God with it in that moment. Amen? And I'm telling you, there's something so beautiful about that. There's something so beautiful about that. Bill Johnson has a message. He talked about the sacrifice of praise. It's only this side of eternity that we're going to be able to offer up praise, and it cost us something. It's a sacrifice. Amen? It says in verse 21, listen to this. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. So once again, he's acknowledging the truth, a higher truth. Although I've had everything taken away, ultimately I came out naked. Naked I'm going to return. Ultimately, at the end of the day, these possessions don't matter. Amen? So if you're hanging on to things that you've lost, from an ungodly, unrighteous, unbiblical perspective, that's going to create conflict in you that you don't need. That's going to create conflict in you. That's not going to allow you to really worship God the way you need to in this season. If there's something that has been taken, give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm going to bless you in the taking, and I'm going to bless you in the receiving. This is what he says. Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, there are some people, I'll just tell you, in the New Testament or the church today with New Covenant theology, that won't even quote the scripture in service, right? Won't even quote the scripture in church because they're like, that's Old Testament, that's law. And in fact, this predates the law of Moses, but whatever. But I want to tell you, I've experienced this in my own life. I have experienced this in my own life. The fact that Job, okay, is saying, blessed be the Lord who gives and takes away. He's not exalting, okay, this character trait of the Lord that the Lord's just going to constantly take. He's going to constantly steal, right? He's not confusing the nature of God with the nature of Satan, who is one who is a thief. Are you hearing me? I want to assure you that when this was written in Scripture, and when this came forth as a revelation of the Holy Spirit through Job, he was not confusing the nature of God with the nature of Satan. I want to assure you of that. What he was doing in this moment was he was acknowledging, it doesn't matter what Satan is doing right now, God is greater in my life right now. And I'm going to bless God in the receiving and in the taking. I'm going to bless God in the increase and in the decrease. Because ultimately, I don't understand what's going on, but I know that God has a plan. I know that God is at work. I know that God has not forsaken me. And sure enough, you go to the back of the book of Job in 42, the Bible says in one day, God turned Job's captivity and restored back double everything that the enemy had taken. Amen? God had a plan with his servant Job to actually increase him and give him more than he ever had before. And you better believe it, if there's a cross experience that has come to your life in a crisis and God's called you to embrace him through it, he has a plan to increase you through it. Amen? He has a plan that the power of Christ might rest more mightily upon you than it ever has before. He has a plan for the strength of God to be perfected in and through you, even through your weakness, like never before. You better believe it. And when you turn your gaze, whenever you change your perspective, when you align with the truth of God's word, it absolutely disempowers the enemy's attack in your life and translates it all into glory for your life. Are you hearing me this morning? Is this ministering to anybody? Oh, Shambhaya, I want you to just close your eyes right now. Lift your hands. And I want to speak this over you. Naked you came from the mother's womb. Naked shall you return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, I thank you this morning, even on Father's Day, that your grace is sufficient for us. Just receive right now. Lord, I thank you that your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is sufficient for us. Lord, I thank you that whatever has been taken, Lord, whatever has happened, Lord, you have a plan, Lord, to increase. You have a plan to restore. And I thank you, God, that you're giving grace in this hour to not partner with the enemy, to not partner with the enemy's perspective, but to lift our gaze, Lord, to partner with you, to see what God is doing. Lord, I just pray right now, a prayer, a blessing. I pray a prayer of restoration, God. I pray a prayer of healing right now for all those that have gone through crisis in recent days. There's some of you, the Lord shows me in this place, you went through crisis years ago, decades ago, but you still haven't healed it. But I'm telling you right now, no matter what the enemy keeps bringing up in your life, no matter what kind of trauma cycle he kept you trapped in, there is freedom for you today. If you didn't embrace the cross years ago, like I'm talking about this morning, embrace the cross now. Say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the Lord who gives and takes away. I will bless the Lord. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you this morning, God, that you have not left us. You have not forsaken us. Lord, I thank you that you've had a plan all along. And Lord, I trust in your ability in your power, in your might, Lord, to work out that plan regardless of what the enemy is doing. No matter how much the enemy is raging, no matter how much the enemy is assaulting, Lord, I thank you that you are greater than the enemy's assaults. Oh, shambabaya talalabo shambaya. And Lord, we just look unto you, Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look unto you, the healer, Lord. We've just done this weekend of meetings, healing in the kingdom. Lord, I thank you that there's healing in the kingdom. I thank you that there's healing for your people here this morning. Oh, shikalabasambaya. Just go ahead and keep receiving right now. Do you want to come, brother? Yeah. Yishikorabasambrabaya. Irakutayalabasambabaya. Thank you, Jesus. We just receive healing, Lord. We receive hope this morning. The Lord administered to his people hope. Although your dreams were shattered, although that marriage suffered and died during that season, although that child, you never saw the child come through it, God has hope for you this morning. God has restoration for you this morning. God has resurrection for you this morning. In Jesus' name. Ushikalabaya. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read this scripture, this last scripture. It's just Psalm 16, verse 10. It's just one scripture. It says, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol. The word Sheol, it's one of the words for hell. You will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Hallelujah. The final stage of Jesus going through the cross was he actually died. And the Bible talks about how he descended into the lower parts of the earth and he preached to those who had died in the flood of Noah. You guys remember this scripture? I believe it's in 2 Peter 3. It also talks about in Ephesians chapter 4 how the Lord descended first, then ascended and led captivity captive on high. You guys remember that? So the final stage of the cross, okay, is actually when the death has already occurred. You've already embraced it. You've already gone through the trial. And now the Lord wants to deal with your soul. Listen to me very, very carefully. The enemy wants you to come through a crisis season where your soul remains damaged, where your soul remains corrupted. What I mean by this, maybe the enemy used someone in your life to betray you. Maybe there was someone very, very close to you, a loved one that betrayed you, and now your soul has suffered the corruption of bitterness. And now your soul has suffered the corruption of unforgiveness. And now you can't open yourself up to love again. What a tragedy if the enemy comes and attacks you through one relationship and it ends up robbing you of the harvest and blessing of every other relationship that God's meant for you in the future. You see, if you don't come through this and embrace the cross and get the healing that you need, Satan doesn't just rob you in that season. He robs you of many seasons in the future. But here was Jesus' promise. This, in case you're wondering, this is a messianic psalm I just read. This is talking about Jesus, which we are the body of Christ. So I claim this as my own. Just because I've gone through hell in my life, God will not leave my soul in that hell. It's what's called a trauma cycle. People get caught in trauma cycles. They get PTSD. They get all this stuff in their body and in their soul and their emotions, and they remain messed up the rest of their lives because of what Satan did. But I'm telling you this morning, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in the trauma cycle because Jesus died to set you free. But if you don't embrace the cross, if you don't say, Lord, I receive all that you have for me today and I let it go, I forgive. You're not forgiving because the person deserves it. You're forgiving because your soul needs to forgive. Your soul needs to be drained of that bitterness. Here's the promise that the Lord has for you this morning. If you've gone through hell, God has a plan to not leave your soul in hell. The Bible says he would not suffer his Holy One, Jesus, to see corruption. There's a corruption that Satan wants to set into your very soul to twist you to become a person in his image, in his likeness, someone who's bitter, someone who's angry all the time, someone who can never trust again. But that is not God's portion for you. God wants you to stay alive to him. He wants you to stay open, full of hope, full of expectation, full of faith, full of hope for the future. I've gone through hell today, but tomorrow is going to be different. I've just gone through hell in this season, but God has something for me tomorrow. God has something for me. There's a hope. There's a future. Jeremiah 29 is mine. Amen. But you got to receive that healing. Amen. You got to embrace the cross. You got to receive the healing that Jesus has for you. So here's what I want to do this morning. Did you have any other announcements you needed to make? Okay. I want to just go right into a time of altar ministry. And just go ahead and stand to your feet if you could. Hallelujah. Here's the altar call this morning. If this message bears witness with you, if you're either currently in a crisis season or you've gone through a crisis, you've gone through turmoil in your past where you know that there was corruption that set in. You know that there's some unresolved issues, some unresolved forgiveness, bitterness issues, some things that you're still carrying today that you know you shouldn't be carrying. I want to just open this altar here right now, and I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Now, when you come to this altar this morning, you're not just coming to receive, but you're coming to lay something down. Are you hearing me? So whatever it is, if it's unforgiveness, if it's wrongs that you're holding against another, if you're holding on to memories that you just can't let go, I want you to come to the altar this morning and I want you to lay it at the feet of Jesus. I want you to imagine, even see it in your spiritual eye. It's like the Lord is here. The cross of Jesus is here. And you're coming and laying it at the cross. You're no longer carrying it as your burden. Amen? And as you do that, as you give it to the Lord, I'm going to pray that you receive healing. I'm going to pray that you receive restoration, even for your soul. And I want to just prophesy life over you. Amen? So if that's you, and you want to lay something down at the feet of Jesus, and you want to receive healing, even for a crisis situation that you're going through or you've gone through, I want you to just come into your seat right now. Join me at the altar. Come on. Hallelujah. Just join me up here. Just make a line, if you could, shoulder to shoulder. And I'm just going to go down and just begin to pray for people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask my brother to play a song and just begin to worship. Ishakura basamba baya.
A healer.
Come on.
And I believe you are all I need.
Hallelujah. If you're at the altar, just begin to lay it down right now, whatever it is. Come on.
And I believe you're my portion. And I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need.
Lay it down, lay it down.
I believe the Lord, and I believe you're my healer. I believe.
Worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need.
Just lay it down. Just give it to him. Lord, say it. Say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not carrying this any further.
Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands, for nothing is impossible. Impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands.
Hallelujah, Lord.
I believe you're my healer. And I believe
you're all I need, Lord. We receive healing, Lord. We receive healing this morning. Healing for our souls.
And I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me.
Hallelujah. So here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to begin to just go down and pray for people. And my focus isn't prophecy or necessarily the gifts of the Spirit right now, even though, of course, if I get something, I'll give it. But I just want to pray for healing. I just want to pray that the Lord would remove the heavy burden, that if there's any trauma cycles, that they would be broken in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to ask for the healing, the balm of Gilead for your souls. And here this morning, you're embracing the cross. You're participating in the great grace exchange. You don't have to carry this anymore. You can exchange your burden for God's peace. Amen. You can exchange the hurt and the trauma and the trial for God's healing and for God's goodness. And I just believe there are people here this morning that God's going to open up your heart in a new way. And your life's never going to be the same. You're going to be open to the new blessings that God has for you that you've been shut down to for years. I just prophesy that in Jesus' name. But I just want to say to the other ones that are here, God bless you. Happy Father's Day. If you do need to go, you can go here this morning. But I'm just going to continue to linger. And my brother Bob, and if there's any other prayer warriors in the church that want to help me, you're welcome to help me as well. But God bless you. I want to say thank you once again for having me. And I hope to see you again next time. Hallelujah. God bless.